the first time I talked to the students and to the staff on the beaches over here. It was a windy day, just like we have now, and I was inexperienced. And I raised my hand just as I was about to speak, and away went all my notes all over the football field. And I believe as I look back over the years, it was the best convocation I ever made. Since that time, we've been meeting in this stadium. This is becoming too small, and I hope next year we can move indoors into the new gymnasium, men's gymnasium. For more than one reason, not only for the room, but practically every year since we started meeting out here, a train happened to come by right in the middle of what I had to say. I hope they will forget coming today, because we try to make arrangements so it wouldn't bother us. Now, I'm supposed at this time to get the baseball score, and that I don't know whether there's any reason for giving a baseball score, because I suspect there might be some of those transistor radios among the group up there.
Top of the first, no score.
What's that?
Top of the first, no score.
Top of the first, no score, he said. Well, there's one way a speaker can always start a talk at any kind of an event such as this. All I have to do is to ask you, why are we here? I can remember the trapped feeling I've had when I've heard a speaker sneak in on an audience that way. I've always had the helpless thought, holy smokes, if he doesn't know why we're here, we're sunk. I want to assure you that I know why we're here. I also know that a lot of you share the opinion of Josh Billings, who used to say, when it came to speakers, I don't care how much a man talks if he only says it in a few words. And I know that a great many speakers get themselves into trouble because they ignore that tried and true proverb, it's wiser to keep your words soft and sweet, because you never know when you will have to eat them. The other day I was in Sacramento, and a speaker got up in an auditorium, and before he got going very long, someone in the back row held up his hand, and he says, I can't hear you. And right after that, someone in the first row got up and said, I can, let me exchange seats with him. But seriously, I am delighted to have this opportunity to greet you as we are assembled here this morning in the only meeting of this kind we will have all year. I want to particularly welcome all the new students. We have a friendly campus, and there are still some of our students, I noticed them this morning, pass right by without a sign of recognition or a smile or anything to say hello. Let's start from now on and say hello and smile whenever we pass one, to keep up this friendly tradition at Cal Poly. It always thrills me to greet our student body on both campuses, and I only wish I could spend more time with you as individuals. But the job of being a college president today, unfortunately, does not permit me to spend as much time as I would like in meeting with students. The challenges and problems that I face as chief administrator of the college are especially demanding, because Cal Poly is a different kind of educational institution. In our modern world today, every conceivable stumbling block is placed in the path of the individual or enterprise or institution which tries to be different. This is the age of conformity, and the true conformists will, no doubt, have a much easier time of it than the person who strikes out into the unexplored territory, who sails on uncharted seas, in short, the person who isn't afraid to be different from the crowd. Many of you have heard of the study that is taking place in California right now regarding the functions of junior colleges, the state colleges, and the University of California. As your president, the biggest task I am facing during the next several months is to make sure that Cal Poly program remains in its orbit as a state senior college which emphasizes occupational education. We are pioneers here, and we tried many new approaches, but we always do this within the framework of our primary objectives as established in 1901 by the California State Legislature. You young people, both men and women, are different from most college students. You are individuals in your own right for many reasons, and you wouldn't be here if it were otherwise. Let me list a few of your distinguishing characteristics. As Cal Poly students, you are pursuing definite objectives in your educational program. Every one of you, freshmen, sophomores, juniors and seniors, is in pursuit of a definite goal. You are equipping yourselves to assume responsible jobs immediately upon graduation. And I know from experience record of our alumni that you will excel in your careers when you join the ranks of industry. As Cal Poly students, you aren't afraid or ashamed to get your hands dirty. By this I mean you are willing to roll up your sleeves and pitch in when there's work to be done. A substantial majority of you, for example, are earning most of your expenses as you go to school. All of you are learning to coordinate the work of the hand with the work of the brain. You learn theory in the classrooms, and then you put it into action in your shops and laboratories, fields, and in your pastures. There is considerable talk in America today about problems created by our people who don't have those qualities of character that will inspire them to keep occupied at useful, constructive tasks. The leaders of our armed forces are deeply concerned at the steady lessening of quality that shows up through the draft and through recruiting measures. I am convinced that much of the moral decay that is eating at the very heart of the spirit that made America great is a result of the soft life that so many lead. Hard work, the sweating brow, is not in vogue. But at Cal Poly, we are convinced that there is dignity in labor with the hands. There is virtue in honest endeavor. There are rewards for the pioneer, the achiever, the person not afraid to get a job done, no matter how great or humble a job may be. As Cal Poly students, you are realists. You approach every problem with a singleness of purpose. In your classrooms, you look for the practical, the solution. You seek a working balance between theory and practice. When Roy Hughes puts a football team on the field, he puts it there to win. I don't mean victory at any cost, but victory through sheer determination to be one's best and to excel. But to continue with some of the characteristics that distinguish the Cal Poly student from the average, I think that one of the most important differences is your willingness to try new things, literally to be pioneers. Your willingness to place achievement ahead of security sets you apart from the average college student today. Your interest in opportunity rather than the immediate financial gain will help you progress further and at a faster rate than many of your associates when you embark on your chosen career in industry. Your ability to bounce back with renewed vigor in face of the adversity will serve you well if the present economic bubble should burst. Indeed, in the 1958 recession, our Cal Poly placement office had little difficulty in finding jobs for our graduates because prospective employers recognize their worth, especially when the going gets rough. I don't know how many employers have told me at various times how they appreciate Cal Poly graduates. They appreciate them because when they interview for a job, they are most interested in what is to be done than in the beginning salary. They are more interested in the opportunities and challenges than in the hospitalization plan. They are more interested in the future of the company than in the retirement program. They are imbued more with the humble determination to succeed and to make a vital contribution to the company than with a cocksure, "aren't you lucky to get me" attitude. And they don't expect to start at the top as a vice president, but are willing to start at or near the bottom rungs of the ladder and work up on the basis of proved ability. These qualities that set Cal Poly graduates apart. If you nurture and develop these same attributes through life, you'll never need to worry about security or about getting ahead. As a matter of fact, I think the quest for security among people is one of the most damaging and demoralizing qualities in society today. I hope our Cal Poly students will always retain their fearless, forthright willingness to bank on their own ability to carry them through either smooth or stormy times. Related to this point, then, is another quality that sets you apart. It is your honest desire to be of maximum service to society. The notion of service is all too often neglected today, as so many people see just as much they can milk out of society, just how much the society will serve them, rather than looking for ways to give more and more to society. I hope you will make the most of your opportunity to study history and political science and the many other general subjects which will help you make an intelligent and useful contribution to your community, your church, your government, your home, and of course your job. Many of our graduates have distinguished themselves through community service of one kind or another. Of course, if more of you got into the legislature, I hope we'd have an easier time getting some of the money that we need to keep the school going. But we have no complaint in that direction. I cannot stress too much this idea of service, genuine service. As a great man of old once said, "He who would be of greatest among you, let him be a servant of all." Yet another distinguishing characteristic of our student body is its warmth and spontaneous friendliness. I touched on this point earlier. You know, many speakers consider an audience of college students the hardest of all to reach. They approach such an audience with serious misgivings. But here at Cal Poly, I am frequently told by outside guests how much they enjoy their contact with our students. This feeling goes beyond your genuine attentiveness and courtesy. It goes to your natural friendliness and warmth as a student body, and this is a quality I hope you'll always preserve. It won't be easy because with growth, there is a natural tendency to become cold and impersonal. I have made no effort to list all the qualities that set our students apart from most student bodies. One important point is your awareness that right now, during your college years, you are experiencing the greatest opportunity you'll ever have to make yourself a better person. Let me review just briefly then the points I have attempted to get across. These are some of the more important distinguishing characteristics. First, you are pursuing definite occupational objectives in your educational program. You are not floundering in a sea of indecision. Second, you aren't afraid to work with your hands as well as your head. You recognize the dignity and worth of honest labor. Third, you are practical-minded and realistic in your outlook. You place excellence of performance above all else and what you undertake. Fourth, you aren't afraid to pioneer. You place opportunity for achievement ahead of desire for security. Fifth, you are sincerely motivated to be of maximum service to your school, your employer, your community, state and nation, your home, and in short, your fellow man. And sixth, you are friendly. You like people and you show them genuine courtesy and concern. I realize, of course, that not every person has all of these qualities, but they do represent the general climate of attitude that has come to characterize Cal Poly. They are idealistic, to be sure, but at Cal Poly, we attempt to incorporate them in a realistic pattern of action. To our upperclassmen, they hold more meaning than to those who are just joining our student body. But you newcomers will soon get into the swing of as you deepen and broaden your associations here. Remember this: civilization is kept alive by what people do over and beyond the daily task, by those who rise far above the letter of the law to its spirit, purpose and spirit. who do things they are not required to do, who go the second mile, who bear the other people's burdens, who set standards for themselves higher than anyone else would do or dare set for themselves. Now, for a few minutes, I would like to comment, offer some advice, if you will, on various ways for you to make the most of your year ahead. It's easy to get advice, all kinds of advice. Like an old banker used to point out, it's not hard to find some fellow who can tell you how to get rich if you lend him your pencil. I would like to think about that our accumulated records and experiences here at Cal Poly can give you some pretty sound advice in regard to your education. Through half a century now, the letters and records of our alumni indicate we've been pretty successful with thousands of others. So we ought to do pretty good, ought to run a pretty good chance with you. Cal Poly staff is by no means omniscient. We certainly don't know it all. If we did, by now we'd have had you and ourselves out of this parking fee situation, which I fought ever since I saw it coming, and which you've got to help us live with, at least till we get the thing settled. Let me say again, we don't know it all. But here are some of the things that we have proved over and over again can determine the difference between what you gain and what you lose from your investment of your own and others' time and money at Cal Poly this year. I could tell you that there is no easy way to an education. I could tell you that hard work, honesty, perseverance, and overall moral stability will in large part determine just how much you will accomplish here. If you have not learned that as yet, you will not learn it from me telling it to you today. You will probably have to learn those values the hard way. But there are some suggestions I can make that should help you. And this is one purpose for this annual convocation. And here they are. First of all, as I've already indicated, don't hesitate to seek advice. We all need it. I'm not ashamed to ask advice, but the older you grow, the more aware you become that it's important to look for advice in successful places. The person who is discouraged, who is disgruntled, or who has not been able to manage himself to good purpose, whether he be youth or adult, is a poor source for advice. Secure, if you can, advice from successful people who have reason to know you. But temper it, if you can, with advice from successful people who don't know you, or who don't know you very well and who can be more objective. It is probable that the best advice is the match of the two. Secondly, I would like to urge you to find a group identity. Here on this rapidly expanding campus, we find it increasingly difficult to operate on the traditional Cal Poly all-campus small family scale. As we grow, Cal Poly must place more and more importance on departmental clubs, resident hall groups, participation in publications, and music, and sports, in the ROTC, or other activities. By choosing one or more of these groups with which to work, you can make friends more easily. You can obtain the change of pace that serves to refresh your studies. You can learn new interests and valuable auxiliary skills. And we found it plays an important part in the success of our alumni because here at college, you can parallel the contributing participation you should be ready to make in the community in which you find yourself after graduation. But here again, you must use good judgment. And this leads me to the third piece of basic counseling I should like to emphasize. I'd feel safe in saying that at every school in this country, a huge percentage of those students who fail to have a successful year face a dismal lack of accomplishment simply because they've been unable, for one reason or another, to properly budget their time and then stick pretty closely to that budget. It's important that I say this to the freshmen, and it's important that I remind the old-timers. College should be a huge merchandise mart of ideas and opportunities. Intellectual and otherwise. It should be most glittering the most buried bazaar of ideas and opportunities you've ever seen. But you're going to become a frustrated and confused and a pushed about customer. You're going to be one who is known as a chump unless you determine what it is you want, how much of it you can afford, and then set about buying it. There are only two things that you can spend here at Cal Poly: time and money. And may I say this with every bit of persuasion at my command: money is necessary, proper use of money is important, but at college, time is the most precious thing you can spend. You can make another dollar, but nobody in this whole wide world, for as long as we've known it, has ever learned to make another hour, not even with daylight saving time. Nor has anybody ever learned, no matter how much they've fussed with the calendar, to make another year. Roughly speaking, you have 552 hours remaining in this month of October. You will have 720 hours in November. Are you planning to spend these hours as carefully as you spend your dollars? Those hours are infinitely more precious. How are you going to spend the approximate 740 hours you'll have during each subsequent month this year? Will you be able to look back and say, I've spent them as if I had earned them? Or will you merely glance back, your conscience shamefaced, and say, I wonder how much longer I'll be able to slide by on charity? There is only one way to conduct a profitable business. That is to develop a sound, workable budget that is sturdy yet flexible. Home management authorities tell us the same applies to a home. We here at Cal Poly know that it applies to a college student. We know that a sound, workable budget of your time is the only effective approach to securing from Cal Poly the things for which you came and for which the taxpayers of California established and are continuing to build this institution. This does not mean at all that you should pledge yourself to a secluded life surrounded only by your books. You will recall that earlier I said that you should have a good time. You should have a change of pace. You should observe good mental and physical health practices. The truly wonderful thing about all this is that you can accomplish it better with a plan which makes you master of the clock and the calendar rather than letting the clock and the calendar make a hurried, whipped, cringing slave out of you. Summarizing then, I am urging you first to seek advice whenever you feel the need. Make use of our counseling facilities and personnel, and don't hesitate to share your problems with your instructors and your friends. Second, take part in some club or engage in co-curricular activities. This will be rewarding, helpful experience that will pay off in the later life. And third, make the most of the time available to you. Budget it carefully to be certain that there is proper balance between the academic, the co-curricular, and the purely social. In closing, I would like to comment upon my own plans for the year. As I said at the outset, it would be wonderful to have more time with you personally, but the demands upon a college president today are such that he can rarely choose his own course of action. First of all, there is a continuing job of keeping Cal Poly programs sold in the state legislature, sold in the Department of Education and Finance, and sold to the people of California. This selling job is necessary if we are to continue receiving the support that has enabled us to develop our facilities to their present stage of completion. The legislature has been very generous in the past, but we can't let up for a second in our program to keep Cal Poly properly equipped for its unique function. Secondly, Cal Poly's interests must be protected in the present effort to redefine the various functions of the state's different segments of higher education. On the one hand, we don't want other schools to usurp our particular service area, and on the other, we don't want to be forced into the mold of the more traditional schools. In this connection, I am deeply appreciative of the loyalty and conviction of our staff on both campuses for its enthusiastic support of the Cal Poly plan. Third, there are numerous meetings of state college presidents and special committees which require much time and energy. Even so, I hope to see many of you throughout the year as individuals and in groups. You'll be interested to know, I am sure, that I am to have lunch with your student body officers today at noon. And I hope to continue that practice as often as I possibly can throughout the year with other groups. Well, in conclusion, I want all to pledge ourselves anew to the job of building a successful individual Cal Poly product. And through that kind of product, to continue the building of Cal Poly. For your success is Cal Poly's success in tangible form. We are here today to establish stronger than ever before that in California's diversified system of higher education, Cal Poly stands uniquely in its own right and in your own right, competing with no other institution, seeking to duplicate the function of no other institution, demonstrating that while others may copy, we have no need to imitate, and proving that through our product, the Cal Poly alumnus, we are not only able to state specifically what we do, but that we can indeed say, do what we say. To these ends, I ask you to join me in committing during this year we have begun. Thank you. And I want to give you a score. Have you got a score? The end of the second inning, Dodgers 0, White Sox 0. Is that right?
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please rise for the benediction by Dr. Essick and remain standing during the playing of the alma mater, All Hail Green and Gold.
Our Father, we have listened to words of wisdom and encouragement this morning. Grant that during this new college...